You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Bring along the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to add a sprinkle of joy to your workday. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
We are back with part two of our interview with Scott Weinger. We are so grateful he made the time to chat with us about our favorite memories of being teenagers on the set of Full House. Let's not wait any longer. Here is part two of Scott.
You're so smart, Scott. I brag about you and AB all the time.
AB, you guys are both so smart. I don't know why this got out that I'm so smart. I don't know where that came from.
Because you read novels in French.
You're like a French minor and you speak multiple languages and you were like doing calculus when you were on the show. You had like a special tutor come in because all the teachers were like, we're not smart enough for you. Like, you know, I mean, come on. But like,
By the way, I don't remember any of that. I don't remember any of that math. My son is like in algebra and I think sometimes he'll be like, Doug, can you help me out with this? And I look at it
like
reading Chinese. I have no idea. I can't.
Oh my God. Yeah. I remember you were in like calculus I was so impressed.
Well,
but it was always funny because you two were so smart and played the biggest idiots.
It's true. You know? We did play dopes.
We played dopes. Do you remember helping me study for the SATs? And like recommending your tutor,
because
I was terrified. And you did so well on the SATs. I don't remember your score, but it was near perfect.
You know what? I did pretty well. But it was hard. Like that was another thing where I would get nervous, like in a taking situation. You know, you feel like if I screw this up, then, you know, like all my hopes and dreams will be dashed or whatever. It's so silly. I mean, but
it's nerve-wracking. Yeah, it's an important test.
Of synonyms. Like I remember I would just like, someone would say a word and I would just like say 10 synonyms for it immediately just because my brain got like trained for that, you know. It's funny. I definitely feel
like cards.
Even now we're old people. I mean, you wouldn't know it from looking at you two, but you know, look at the center square here. Oh, I guess it's only, I'm the only.
I look pretty
good.
You're part of the Full House family. You don't
years
age.
Old, yeah. I think I'm pretty good.
Oh, come on.
That's true.
And but I definitely have this mentality like, student mentality, like I'm always trying to learn stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So like right now I'm studying Italian, which is really fun because we went to Italy. My family, we went on a trip to Italy and it was
I was gonna say, you probably went there and you're like, now I need to know all of Italian.
Yes, exactly.
And now Scott's like, I need to.
Yeah. Right. Next time I go, I'm going to be able to like do this and talk Italian to people. So, but I always feel like
You were trying to learn Japanese before we went.
I know. I did. I learned a little bit.
I do. I remember you walking around set with your like Duolingo and like
I learned some. It was very helpful.
Yeah.
It was. It came in handy.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Can we talk about that in Japan, Jody? Were you with us when Scott led us on a wild chase to find a certain sushi restaurant at the fish market.
I did not go because it was early in the morning and Scott was like, I'm going for sushi at 7 a.m. And I was like, I am not.
I had sushi for breakfast a couple of times. I went back to that place. But yeah, I had heard about this place.
Yeah, you went there like twice and it burned down. Remember?
Oh, no, that was another place. But yeah, that was crazy that it burned down. We went by this
one. You had like been there. You're like, I was there yesterday. Yeah,
that was crazy.
Wow, Scott, you were there yesterday. Something burns down. You write an episode. The show gets canceled. I'm just saying. Maybe it's
I'm the jinx.
The harbinger of bad things.
But I remember you leading us on several like subways or trains and like taxis. And like, you're like, I swear I'm going to find
it.
But we couldn't read street signs.
It was like this hole in the wall with just like 10 seats at the bar. And we found it. And with a lot of like challenges along the way. Remember, I lost my phone. Remember, I stopped and tied my shoes and walked away and my phone was still there. Yes. But it's Japan.
Yes.
Like, maybe anywhere else in the world, the phone would have been gone in about 2 seconds.
It was.
We came back and there were like people standing around looking at
standing and looking. Right. Like, what do we do?
They're so amazing and polite. That experience was so incredible, you know. And it's not nice.
Yeah. We had the best time.
Whatever, but yeah, that was the best. That was so.
Remember the day that we went good. And we had that guy, the guide, and like the bus, and we went to those. We went to like the old part of Japan, and we went to the gardens, and we went. Oh my gosh, where else did we go? We went all like.
It was amazing. We went to that place that had the octopus balls with the weird stuff on top that was like moving. Remember, we ended up at like this cool neighborhood with like a beer hall. And
well, that's right. If that was the old part of Tokyo that is still out there, a little bit of a
that
kind
was
of a trek out there.
It was a neighborhood we never would have found on our own without this guide.
Right.
I mean?
Well, it was much of what Tokyo originally looked like, but a lot of that didn't survive, you know, those 40s.
Yeah.
But it still is out there. And I do remember it was August and they don't love air conditioning and the old buildings did not have any. And we were all like,
I have pictures of us looking so sweaty.
Just sweating. So sweaty. Yeah.
But it was
so
awesome.
Sweaty.
I loved it so much that I went back again. I brought my wife and my son. We went back and had another amazing time. We had these friends who came and met us there. It was just, I can't wait to go back again. It was amazing. That was my last big, like really big, awesome trip before the pandemic. And it like really scratched an itch that would have gotten out of control during the pandemic had I not done that trip, you know? And then we didn't really get to go anywhere special, you know, like on a big trip until last Christmas we did the Italy trip. I took, and you guys know I'm obsessed with Paris. So we went to Paris first. Because my son had never been to Paris and we had a great few days, but then Italy blew his mind. He preferred Italy. And
really?
What made you fall in love with Paris? I mean, other than the fact that you know, speak the language. So
I don't know. It was
nicer to you there.
I didn't want to go. I had no interest. I was not curious about Paris or France. I would, you
Wasn't it Bob that told you to go to Paris?
No, Bob met me there one time. You know what? My girlfriend at the time, Kelly, who she was studying French. And so we were going to go on a trip at spring break time. I guess it was like April. And I was thinking like somewhere beachy, like Mexico or something, you know what I mean? But she had been studying French. So she had this, like, she was like anxious to go to Paris. And I was like, all right, fine. I'm not going to like complain about it. And we went and I honestly, you know, I think she loved it, but I got hit by the lightning bolt way harder than her. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, from the beginning, I remember that first day just walking around, like feeling this weird connection to it. Like, I'm going to live here someday and I'm going to learn how to speak French. And like, on the first day, you know, and I did it. When I started college, I took French like 5 days a week for a long time. And I didn't know college. So I signed up for French class at 9 a.m. 5 days a week, which was so stupid because what college freshman wants to be awake at 9 a.m. every day? But and then I did. Then my senior year, I lived there for 6 months and I worked on my thesis and I was just like obsessed with it. And then, you know, the coolest thing, actually, this happened during Fuller House. You know, I always wanted to do a show in Paris. Like I had this idea for a rom-com and I went to pitch it to Netflix during one of our hiatuses, I guess. I bumped it. It was like, I was at some Netflix Emmy party and I ran into this executive who I had known from ABC who now works in their foreign language stuff. And I said, I have a show and I think we should do it in French because nobody's going to make it in English. So let's do it. And she's like, come pitch it. And so a month later I was in her office pitching it And I start with the little autobiographical spiel about like my obsession, the thing I just told you guys about my, how right. I love Paris. And I said, and my dream really is to work on a, to do a rom-com in Paris. And she goes, stop right there. She goes, I definitely want to hear your pitch, but we have a rom-com that we're trying to get off the ground. And it's, you know, like a lot of new shows, there were some issues with it. It was just getting it, you know, getting it in, you know, it was in prep and like they had a start date. They were pushing it back because they weren't really sure. And they said, would you maybe be interested in going to Paris and sort of, you know, making sure it stays on track or getting it back on track? And I was like, are you kidding? And so it, thank God, awesome. It happened to be, it was in between Fuller House seasons. So a month later, I was in Paris working on this show. And that was really cool. We had a writer's room with a view of the Eiffel Tower. And
oh wow.
And I kept going.
Wait,
back.
What show was this?
It was this show. It's a Netflix show. It's still on Netflix. The English title I don't love. They called it The Hookup Plan. But it has a weird name in French that doesn't translate. It's like an expression, you know what I mean? It's like
You have to say it. I want to hear you speak the French.
Well, there's a French expression that's probably not appropriate in English, but it's called a plan Q, like a plan Q. And it means like, because the word Q, the letter Q in French, if you say
Q
it, it sounds like ass in French. So a plan Q means like a hooking up, like it means like friends with benefits.
A booty call.
It basically means friends. Yeah. Like friends with benefits or whatever.
Got it.
Wow.
And so in French, they called it they called the show plan coeur, like which means like a heart plan. Like it's like a play on the expression. So there's a play on words on a play on words. So it's like, there's no way to translate it.
There's no way to make it.
So they just called it The Hookup Plan in English. But it's a really sweet show. It's not appropriate for youngsters. It's very mature content. You know, it's like about people in their 20s and 30s, like dating and stuff. So it's not like inappropriate.
Coming up with hookup plans.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's not like inappropriate for grownups, but I'm just saying it because I know a lot of people watch it, listening to this podcast might think it's like Full House, which
they're gonna be like, Scott Weinger told me that I should go watch this show, we're gonna get a lot of emails.
Yeah, exactly.
Problematic things.
It's a wonderful show, and I'm very proud of it. But
maybe not something you'd watch with your kids like you would Fuller House.
Exactly. It's intended for
or Aladdin,
right? Or Aladdin, yes.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm sure every one of our listeners can attest that we all carry around different stressors, both big and small, and I carry around quite a few of them myself.
I know when I bottle up my problems and emotions, it can start to have a negative effect in my day-to-day life. Therapy is my safe space where I can get things off my chest and figure out how to solve the things that are weighing me down.
Seriously, therapy is an amazing tool to help you be the best version of yourself. And whether you're aiming to set new boundaries, something that is sometimes missing in our episodes, or learn positive coping skills, or learn to heal from trauma, therapy can help.
With BetterHelp, all you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P
Quince.com/howrude. I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure stress-free and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out. We'll make it like it's 1988. No yes. phones. No nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What was it like coming back as Steve during Fuller House and, like,
oh, yeah.
finally winding up the dude?
It was crazy.
Yeah,
it
were you nervous totally to come back and do it?
I didn't plan on ever doing it. Well, first of all, who would have thought? You know, nowadays there are so many successful or unsuccessful. There are so many attempts at doing these, like, not spinoffs, like
right.
reboots of old shows.
Reboots,
right. Some of them have done really yeah. well and some of them have not. But like Fuller House was like kind of the first one that really hit it big. And so I don't know about you guys, but my expectation was very like, I was sort of confused because I hadn't seen a sitcom on Netflix before. Like it was just
oh, right.
the fact that we were doing it again, but for Netflix, I didn't understand what it was. Like, and they just called me and asked me to do one episode, like just the table read for the pilot. And and they had all this dialogue about my wife and kids. Remember, there was a party at the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were going to
yeah.
go to the house. Yep. And Steve shows up. It was supposed to be like the legacy cast was going to show up. And that was, you would never hear
from right.
again. And but then after that first table read, like I said, there were no stakes because I thought the dialogue was all about my wife and kids. I didn't think there was any.
Right.
So I had like a really good table read. I wasn't nervous. It didn't feel like an audition. And I right. got an email from Jeff Franklin that night saying, hey man, you were really funny at the table read. I think I'm going to get rid of that dialogue about your wife and kids. And maybe like in the future, you could come back and try to date DJ. And I was like, okay. I didn't think it would ever really happen, but I was like, of course I'm open to that. And then the show gets, you know, I guess it was already picked up to series. It was picked up for whatever 13 episodes already. And so then they would reach out to be like, is he available for another episode? Is he available? You know, and I was like, and it was a really weird thing because if I had been writing for any other show but the one I was writing for, I probably wouldn't have been able to do it because you can't just like disappear for days at a time.
Right.
But I was working on this show that was shooting in England. And it was a musical and we had written all the episodes. It was Gallivant season 2.
Okay.
And
yeah.
So they were in England shooting the show in Bristol. And so the writers would come to work every day without much to do. Because sometimes if you're shooting a show and like a scene isn't working or jokes aren't working, they'll call the writer's room and say, this isn't working. But they were 9 hours ahead of us or whatever. Anyway, like they couldn't.
Right.
There was, we really didn't have a lot. I could sort of slip out and do a Fuller House episode and nobody would really know that I was gone.
Right.
And finally, you know, it was another one and then another one. And by the end of that first season, I was in more than like half the episodes and they had written the whole love triangle with Steve and DJ and Matt. And like then at the end of that season, Jeff's like, well, now we've sort of painted ourselves into a corner because like I'm like in the show. So we need to make a deal for you to be like a regular. And I was like, well, I don't think I could just quit. Because at the time I was doing Gallivant and then the Muppets at the same time. And then as luck would have it, they both got canceled. And so But I, you know, I made a deal to be like a regular on the show, and you know, that's how it ended up. But I loved it. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I mean, I do know about you guys. I know you loved, like, we had the best time. It was awesome.
It was so fun.
I was so,
yeah, it was,
I had a lot of anxiety about like skipping out on my day job and like, would I ever get to work in a, like, I'd worked so hard to establish myself in TV writing. And I thought if I left or whatever, then I would be like, the Game of Musical Chairs would continue without me. And I wouldn't be able to get a seat ever again or whatever, but thank God it didn't work out that way. But it was amazing. We had so much fun. I wish it went for 10 seasons.
Oh, I know it did. So, it
we
was
just
really
laughed
fun.
So hard every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Like, we really it was exactly like the old days, except we were all grown-ups. It was really fun.
Right. Except we didn't have to study for SATs and go do homework. And yeah.
I mean, we had other
It was actually more fun. People ask that all the time. They're like, yeah, did you like Fuller?
Seeing it through the eyes of our kids was really fun. Like, the kid.
Yeah. What did Misha think? What did he think about
the right age to be totally blown away by the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
And how old is Misha now?
Now he's 14. Which is crazy.
Oh, wow. But
that's right. Yeah. He's.
When did we start it? Like, how old would he have been? I guess, was it like 9 years ago already at this point? 8 or 9?
It was 2015.
Oh, my God. So in the spring, it'll be 9 years since that first tape.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh. We are old.
So yeah, he was the ideal age for our viewership.
Yeah, it's true. But he loved coming to the tapings, and his friends were obsessed with the show, and they would all come to the taping. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We had such a good time. It was really fun. And
did he get a kick out of seeing you on TV, or did he make fun of you? Because my kids would always make fun of me.
I guess it's crazy, but he would have been 5 years old when we started. So for him, everything. For kids that age, nothing's weird. You know what I mean? He's just like, I guess this is what my dad does now. Like, I, you know.
Right.
And, but he loved it. He was exactly the right age where, like, I would take him as my date to the Kids' Choice Awards, you know, and that was awesome. And he, you know, he got a big kick out of it. It was really, really fun. It was cool. And it's not like being an actor on a show where you shoot it out of town or the hours are really bad. Always around, because our hours were so amazing, you know, except for tape.
Sitcom life is the thing that most people dream of in this business is sitcom life, because you're usually on a 4-day schedule. Yeah. Once you kind of get in the swing of things, usually a 4-day schedule, nothing too crazy late, especially if you're on a show with the kids, animals.
Yeah.
You're not shooting late.
Our tape nights ended always pretty early, you know, and
we would be done by like 9:30.
Yeah.
That
was a later one, exactly. And,
yeah.
And it was also unusual because a lot of times when you're doing a new show, it's like it takes a while to find an audience, but we had this built-in super fan base that the people would come to the audience and just freak the heck out, you know?
And we also knew each other so well. It was like there was no getting, it wasn't, you know, warming up to other people or how, you know, new character. It was like, oh, we're just jumping back into this person in this routine rhythm.
It was really weird. People asked me like, is it weird? And I remember the first day being sort of weird on the set, like not weird, just like looking around, like the set was back up. It was like being back in like childhood home or something, and everything's the way it was.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And, but then the weirder part was by the second day, it was just like, we had never stopped doing the show. It was just like, oh, hey, you know, you want to grab a coffee? You know, it's like,
And we were on the same stage that we had been on in the same, you know, we've talked about it before, but the same dressing rooms and everything. So it really was like this weird fast forward button that got hit where it was like,
that was so bizarre.
Have we been like a time warp? We've just been here the whole time.
Yeah, especially being in the same sound stage on the same lot. Mm-hmm. It was like so surreal. I mean, we didn't have our
same hair and makeup, same crafty.
Huh? Yeah, going down to craft service. It was so bizarre. It really was like all of the years in between, sort of you forgot about them a little bit. Like it didn't feel like we had continuously been doing the show, but it was so fun. I mean, it was just such a good experience. Like, you know, and for me, it was like a dream come true because I continued to write. Like they asked me if I had any weird, like, When I took the job, is like the only thing I asked was like I needed a desk in my dressing room so that because I was still like pitching shows and writing shows and so I got into like a routine where like I would develop an idea for a pilot or something and work on the pitch during the season, and then we would finish at the end of the summer, like right around Labor Day, And then so I would take the pitch out after Labor Day, and then I was very lucky. I would sell the show and then spend the off season writing a pilot, you know what I mean? Or working on a pilot.
Right.
And then, like most pilots, they wouldn't get picked up. I wouldn't have to worry. And then I'd go back to work on Fuller House. It was a very cool, it was just a great, however many years we did it, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And you guys, I mean, we all had cool experiences that we never had got to have. I mean, like, Andrea wrote an episode and you directed more than an episode, right? Like multiple episodes.
No, I directed one episode. I directed the third from the end. Candace directed a couple episodes. But yeah, we all got to do stuff that we sort of never had before. It was, you know, again, everyone was so supportive of like our education and our growth and doing the next thing, just kind of like they were when we were kids. Like that was always a big part of it. It meant a lot. It meant a lot that they let us all kind of do that.
It was a good group. It was really, it was just a really nice group.
We had the best time.
Yeah.
Where do you think Steej will be in 10 years? I guess we could say 10 years from the end of the show or 10 years from now, which would make it like, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's our now. What has it been? 4 years already since we finished?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. Yeah. It feels weird because in some ways it feels like we just finished. And in some ways it feels like 20 years ago because the pandemic came and there's like that big.
Well, right. The pandemic, there's no time anymore.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But where would Steve and DJ end up? I feel like they would still be happily married. I feel like, I don't know, would they have had more kids? I don't think so. If she has a house full of kids, I don't think that they, I think Steve would have really like thrown himself wholeheartedly into helping raise her kids, DJ's kids, would have had like a, you know, I mean, think of how old was the youngest kid? How old was the youngest one on the show was when the show?
The baby, they were what? 3, 4?
Oh God, I forgot they were babies. It wasn't like Max. Well, they were younger kids. Even.
Yeah, they were infants.
The babies. Oh, baby first season. Yeah.
They had a long time before they would be empty nesters. I was like, I don't think Steve and DJ would be gallivanting all over the world yet. They'd be raising kids for a long time. Yeah. But Steve was such a sweet guy. He was thrilled to do it. He liked being a father figure to the kids or whatever.
Like he was.
And it took a
Scott,
while.
Scott, you're just so cute. You're still Steve.
Jeez, I want to reach through the screen and squeeze both of your cheeks.
I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure, stress-free, and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out. We'll make it like it's 1988, no phones. No, nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going
to
put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
By the way, you know what? Do you notice this over my shoulder? Do you recognize this little piece of contraband that I stole from the set?
I can't see what it is.
It's nautical. It's a boat.
It's the sailboat from Joey's little alcove.
Oh, yes. You have the sailboat?
Yeah, I got. Well, you know, it's
so
funny.
That's what you took.
I didn't mean to have the sailboat. You know, do you remember the night on set, our final taping? And it was
it was like madness, and people were. We were picking the set clean.
Yeah, people were picking the set clean.
Not even just cast. Like everyone was like, "I'm taking this, and I'm taking this."
The funny thing is, I remember we joked around about stealing the couch, and I was like, "Ha ha, you can't steal a couch." And then I think Stamos really did steal the couch. I think he has the iconic.
He has the couch. I don't know that he stole it. I tried to steal the CPAPy.
The best part is, I knew exactly what I wanted, and I ran to I ran to the kitchen to get it. I wanted the cookie jar from the kitchen, the house.
Oh.
And I'm going to reach for it. And I know, I see Michael pick it up and he's like, "Oh, did you want that?" And I was like, "No, it's cool." He was very sweet. He was getting it for you. But he saw
that. Oh, for me. Oh.
He saw the sort of look on my face and he was like, "Ugh." I was like, "No, you know, I knew it was for you." I was like, no, it's all good.
Oh.
But that was my plan, was to steal that, to borrow for until we do Fullest House, to borrow that cookie jar. And, because I have a genie cookie jar from Aladdin and I thought they would be together. But then, so I was like, what can I take? And I was wandering around the set and then I saw the tail.
What can I pilfer?
Yeah, because everybody wanted a souvenir from this amazing experience, you know? And so I went and I got the sailboat, which I thought was really super cool. But I remember leaving the studio that night with all the emotions of the series being over and everybody was crying. Mm-hmm. It was very emotional. The feeling I had was, they're going to catch me. They're going to find that sailboat in my trunk and I'm going to go right to Warner Brothers jail. I was just like, I was so scared. I mean, it's so pathetic. Nobody's going to.
They caught me.
They caught Coral
with the CPAPy head. I had to go get it out of my trunk.
Are you kidding? Well,
you can't just take it. Well, not the whole CPAPy, just the head. But, you know, it was a little obvious when it was headless.
Wow. And then people were like, "What happened?" So they were like, "Who stole it?"
I did, because they were like, "Who took the thing?" And it was a big thing, and the security and somebody else came over and they were like, "They're looking for the CPAPy head. It's a bit of a thing." And I was like,
"Oh my God."
Okay, so I went and returned it, but then I was like, "But I really, really want it." And then one day, after they had wrapped and, you know, assigned everything, my doorbell rang and one of the writer's assistants had come and just left the CPAPy head on my front porch. So I opened the door. There's no person there, just the CPAPy head.
Do you have him? Is he mounted?
He's on my bookshelf inside.
Oh my God. I love it. I love that we all have our souvenirs on our bookshelf. So I felt really bad, like karma-wise, that I had taken a thing that didn't belong to me from the set. But clearly, everybody did. And the fact that yours is behind you on the bookshelf, and yours is on your bookshelf, and mine's on...
I have several things, I have several things that still have the, like, Warner Brothers tag of... Now I'm going to go to Warner Brothers jail.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Never be allowed on the lot again.
This is like a confessional.
Well, you know, honestly, what we're going to have to do is someday, if they ever bring the show back, we'll all just have to...
We all
show up the with like
set deck done by us. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I still have my jacket. Remember the jacket?
I was going to say, do you have your Letterman jacket?
I don't have the Letterman jacket, but I do have the jacket that DJ gave to me for Christmas. Remember? And then she gave me this really fancy leather jacket. And then I gave her like a Daytona Beach University sweatshirt. So
yes.
And then I wore that jacket on the show for a million times, and I still have that. I guess a couple of souvenirs. I don't have a ton of souvenirs, but
love it.
But yeah, but that's my Fuller House souvenir, is the sailboat from Joey's little alcove. I wasn't sure. It's not the original. Like, if you go back and watch Full House, it was a bigger sailboat.
It was.
I don't think. Right. I guess they probably couldn't find the original sailboat or whatever.
Did you come up with the character trait of Steve being obsessed with food and always, you know, going into the tanner?
They came up with it because I was a high school wrestler. And so the idea was that a high school wrestler just must eat 10,000 calories a day. You know, like, I see it. My son is not.
Just teenage boys.
Yeah,
eat,
like my 14-year-old, I see it. Like, you could literally feed that kid all day long. Like, you know, like Michael Phelps or something, you know, like nonstop eating. And,
Those were the days.
Because I remember that was written in pretty early, that Steve. Because, like, I remember when I became on as a series regular, and they wrote my little. The first season I was on as a regular, it was Steve is like looking in the fridge, and then he turned. You know, I turn around, but I guess in the next season they made it. I was throwing a football or something. Very athletic, which, as you both know,
you're so athletic.
Not true. I am not athletic. I can't throw a football nor catch a football.
Well, you did one shot of an opening sequence, though. So there was that.
Take 47. That worked twice. Maybe special effects or whatever. But and then I was a wrestler. Remember the episode I had to wrestle Bob? That was really.
Yes.
And
I don't remember that.
We haven't gotten to that one yet, but I can't wait.
So now, what are you guys? Oh, now you guys are rewatching the whole show. Do you do that on your podcast, or do you like? Do like a viewing thing and then watch it and comment and stuff, or is your podcast?
We watch it ahead of time and then just recap it.
Oh, that's cool. People. That's cool.
Yeah, we go scene by scene and then give our commentary on what we think about the scenes, and then tell behind the scenes stories
go along. That's fun.
It's really fun. It's so fun watching us as little kids, tiny kids.
You guys, I mean, there must be, because I remember, I mean, I only did 50 of them, and there were hundreds of them, and there are plenty that I don't
remember. 192 episodes.
Oh my God. And you were so young, there's probably a lot that you don't remember even shooting at all.
Yeah, a lot of it I remember like vaguely, but until I watched the show, because I didn't, you know, really watch it growing up, like until I watch it, and I'm like, oh my God, that's right. Like, I will definitely have memories of doing things that it kind of don't come up until.
And it's funny because you did a lot of crazy stuff. Like, I mean, the one where Andrea is on a unicycle, like that was crazy. Oh, yeah. Like, can you still ride a unicycle? I
can't wait for that story.
Huh?
I don't, probably not. I haven't tried in decades. So I still have the unicycle though.
Oh, nice.
But I haven't tried to get on it because I don't really want to break a hip
it's not
at
worth
this age.
It.
Now it's not as fun. Now you're like, ooh, now it sounds like a hospital trip.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. I remember having to learn skills for shows and stuff. Like when I was a kid.
Juggling.
Yeah. Like on the show I did before Full House, I had to learn how to ride what's it called? Rollerblading, which was like the super hot thing at the time. And really know how to do it.
Dave could have taught you.
Yeah. They got a guy who had won like the X Games come and teach us all how to rollerblade and jump off stage.
Right.
So all of a sudden I'm like an amazing rollerblade. You know, it's like if they bring in professionals and it's like you have to learn, I don't know. But and then, you know, I had a thing where they brought me back for the series finale where I had to be DJ Secret Prom Day. I was already in college, but they said I didn't know if it was the series finale or the season finale, but it was, did we know it was the last one ever at the time?
Yeah.
We knew. So we knew. Mm-hmm. And
a few weeks before we found out.
They wanted to bring me back to be DJ Secret Prom Date, and I couldn't tell anybody. So they were like, don't tell anyone from the cast. We're going to fly you out and hide you out back for the whole day. And so bummed because I was like back there hiding in this trailer and everybody was hanging out, and it was the last day of Full House of all time. And but I had to wait till tape night to like reveal myself on, you know, DJ opens the door. And it was But the funny thing is I never... So I wasn't on set. So I wasn't like watching the taping. And then I guess I never watched the show. So for years, people would come up to me and talk about Michelle falling off a horse and losing her memory. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, actually that was not the last episode we shot. The last episode we shot is different than the last episode that aired.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. So the last episode we shot was, I think, Andrew Keegan was on it as like somebody that I liked.
Oh, so the one where I show up and take DJ to the prom wasn't the
Yes. That was not the final episode that aired. The last one that aired was when Michelle fell off the horse and had amnesia and then came back. And I think that was where, we jumped the shark and then we were like, and we're out.
Oh,
and,
my God. You know, it's so
once we went to amnesia, we were like, we're done.
I couldn't figure out why I don't remember. Because, you remembered the final episode.
You fell off a horse and had amnesia. And that was
I acted in real life. That's what's so sad. That's what they based the episode on. But in the Fuller House, do you guys remember, everybody was crying at the finale and the audience was crying and the cast was crying and it felt like a series finale. And in my memory, I don't remember that taping feeling like such a big deal, like the series.
Oh, it was. It was huge. No, we were sobbing. We were crying.
I mean like that.
You weren't, obviously.
I wasn't there for the series finale. We didn't know it was going to be, because that episode ended up being the series finale, but wasn't the series finale taping wise.
It wasn't our last taping.
It was or it wasn't?
Right.
It wasn't.
I think you...
I don't know.
I can't remember. I don't remember if the prom episode was the last one we taped, but I think it...
It was the last one that aired. It was the last show, I think, of the show.
Okay, got it. If it was the last one that aired, then that was the Michelle horse one.
Back
but was not, but it, you're right, it was probably not a big deal because that was not the last show we shot.
That makes perfect sense, because I don't remember
now
feeling
it all
like
makes sense.
Like,
yeah. Now I get it.
That's what's great about doing these podcasts. You know, we get to sort of dig deep and figure this stuff out. And by the way, then we'll have fans.
Well, the fans will correct us. Some fan will correct us anyways if we got it wrong.
Exactly.
There are effects.
Andrea, if you ever want to borrow my sailboat and I'll borrow your cookie jar, we could swap.
I was going to say, I feel bad.
You shouldn't feel bad because it was funny. If it was like some random guest cast or whatever stealing the cookie jar, I would have been like, bro, give me the cookie jar. But I knew Michael was like, oh, I was going to give it to Andrea. And I was like, it's for Andrea. It is dead.
Oh.
That is Andrea.
Well, we can definitely swap. We'll do a prop swap.
A prop swap.
You can keep the cookie jar for 6 months out of the year.
Right.
I have custody.
We'll
of the
rotate
cookie
it.
Jar. Yeah. I like
Oh gosh.
So what else, guys? What are you? What's going on in your lives? I feel like we haven't hung out, and it's been a little while.
I mean, it has been a little while, but we have been here for an hour and 17 minutes, and. We love you, but this is already a two-part episode.
This is what happened when I did Bob's Time podcast flies. Too. When Bob's like, I'm going to have to cut so much of this podcast.
But see, the thing is that we want to just talk and, and hang out. And we could.
Yeah. Well, maybe
that would be a 3-hour episode.
I know. Maybe we'll do that IRL off camera.
IRL.
Yeah. I know. I'm really young, so I say stuff like that. I know all the.
It's all the young, hip, cool people do. Yeah. You're right. You are just right in there with them.
Whenever I say anything remotely like kid age, like TikTok-y or whatever.
Right, right. That's bussin'.
Oh my God.
My kids melt.
Crumbles up into a little ball. Like the cringe is so intense.
Like
he like folds up like
so
a potato bug.
Gross. Yeah. It's our only weapon now is embarrassment.
Yeah, it's true. And it works. Oh my God. Is it a powerful weapon?
Yeah. Good currency.
Well, I really enjoyed being on your guys' show. This was really fun and dumb.
We loved having Scott. You, Scott. Thank you so much. And we are I'm so glad that you are a part of our Full House family.
Thank you.
That you have just stuck with us through the years, you know? You really are. You're a big piece. No.
We're FH for life.
FH for life. Yeah,
you're
that's
such
our
a bright
tattoo.
Light, and you bring so much joy to the room, and any room, even virtual rooms that were, like,
true.
You bring so much joy with your smile and your funny jokes, so we love spending time with you.
Well, the Full House, it's a great family to be a part of. I feel so lucky. I'm so, I'm so glad that when I came on the show, I was old enough to, appreciate it, how cool it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like a very big memory, and it's like a big, it's been a big, I mean, I don't have to tell you guys, it's like a big part of our lives then and now. It somehow still is like a big, big part of our daily lives. It's crazy.
Well, thanks, Scott, for joining us. We love you.
I love you guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Give our love to the family.
I will, and right back at you.
All right.
Thanks, Scott.
Bye. Thanks, Scott. This was so much fun for us all to catch up. I absolutely loved it, which means we will be moving on to a new guest for you next week with more to share. And just running down memory lane with everyone is so much fun. We're having the best time. So thank you guys for listening. We're so glad that you are a part of the Fanaritos. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can check us out at How Rude Podcast. You can also email us at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you're liking and subscribing the podcast wherever you're listening to it so that you can get those new episodes right when they drop. And thanks again for listening. We will check you guys next week. And in the meantime, remember, the world is small, but the house is full. See, you thought I was going to screw it up.
The Fanaritos are going to be disappointed that you're getting this right so many times in a row.
I don't know. I've seen a few emails. They might be pretty happy about it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.